Frequency Cast. Startup in progress.
Hi, and welcome to Frequency Cast number 10. The first podcast of 2007. My name's Carl, and with us is our resident technologist, Pete.
Namaste.
If you're new to Frequency Cast, welcome along. In each of our tantalising takes on technology shows, we look at what's new in the world of digital TV and radio in the UK, and try to demystify today's newest technologies. The show's driven by feedback from our listeners, so you decide what we'll be talking about in each show. In today's Frequency Cast, here's what we'll be looking at. Pop-up TV Anytime Box Update. News of a new Windows phone with onboard GPS. Cheap slingboxes, now for the Mac and Symbian. In our focus section, we get our hands on two of the latest bits of kit. A top-up TV Anytime Box and a Nintendo Wii. Plus, we leap headfirst into your comments and questions. But first, let's take a look at what's new.
Frequency Cast, now loading. News.
News time here on Frequency Cast, and first off, Top Up TV Anytime. The boxes have finally arrived, and we have one. We'll be reviewing one later on in the show. The early boxes have had a number of minor problems, all of which should apparently be fixed by an over-the-air software update scheduled for early January 2007. Next up, a new DAB station. On December 25th, the Jazz hit the air. As we reported back in Show 7, a new national jazz station is now online. The Jazz is now available on DAB Digital Radio, on Sky Digital Channel 0113, on NTL Cable 961, and online at thejazz.com. Now some Slingbox news. Slingbox lets you watch your home TV and recordings over the internet. At the time of recording, you can get a massive £50 off a Slingbox with a special discount code, which gets the price down to £129.99. For details of how to get £50 off a Slingbox, go to our show notes and we'll give you the link and discount code. Also, Mac users note that a Sling Player is now available for Mac OS. There's also a Symbian OS version available for mobile phone users wanting TV on the move. It's designed for the Nokia N73 on 3's network. Again, more on our site. Next, Home Hub. Our BT Home Hub page is continuing to get lots of visits, so we're adding to our FAQ all the time. If you have a Home Hub, note that from December the 20th, 2006, the hubs are automatically being updated with a new version of software, version 6.2.2.6. This offers improvements to the user interface. Next, mobile phones. We've got a new mobile phone favourite. The Dynamatec L920 has finally been knocked off the best mobile podium and been replaced by the new phone from O2, the XDA Orbit. This is a combined phone and Windows Mobile PDA with a built-in GPS receiver. So you can now have a one-box solution for everything, your phone, organizer, internet, email, and satellite navigation, all with no extra hardware. The XDA Orbit is a very impressive phone packed with features. It's available for free on some O2 tariffs. The Orbit is also carried by T-Mobile, where it's known under a different name, the MDA Compact 3. More details on our site. Next, do you have an MP3 player? Well, from December 2006, the UK government have finally overturned the ruling about FM transmitters, which have been used by some illegally in the UK. If you're not sure what these are, these plug into the top of your MP3 player and rebroadcast the output of your MP3 player to an FM radio, such as your car stereo. If you're interested in getting an FM transmitter for your MP3 player, take a look at our show notes where we list a few that you can choose from. Prices start from around about £10. Next, news of the next generation iPlayer. We've recently seen the launch of Evesham's iPlayer HD Media Center. This is based on the popular NetGem iPlayer Freeview set-top box and adds a hard disk recorder for up to 70 hours recording. It also supports video on demand, downloadable TV content over a broadband connection. More importantly, the HD Media Center from Evesham has an onboard high-definition upscaler, so you can get pseudo high-definition on your HD TV. Price is under £300. Again, more on our site. Finally, a quick Freeview update. There's not much to report since our last show, other than the addition of NHS Direct Interactive. This is a text-based service with over 150 pages of interactive content. To access NHS Direct TV, go to Freeview Channel 108, press the red interactive button, and then scroll to NHS Direct Interactive.
Thanks, Pete. That's great stuff. For more on these news stories, take a look at the show notes for today's show at www.frequencycast.co.uk.
Frequencycast. Now loading. Focus.
So, now it's time for the fabulous Focus section. Well, as you know, each show we ask our listeners to vote for what they'd like to hear about on Focus. So, Pete, what have they asked for this time?
Well, it was a close-run thing this time. The highest votes, 31%, were for the BT Vision service. But unfortunately, we've yet to get our greasy little hands on a BT Vision box. So unfortunately, although that's what everyone's after, we can't focus in on it on this show.
I wasn't after that, if it helps.
Thanks. So we focus in on our number two choice here, which is top-up TV anytime, with 27%. We're also going to cover something else as well, which we've also just managed to get our mitts onto, which came in at number 3 at 9%, which is the Nintendo Wii. Let's kick off with that.
We're going straight in with Nintendo Wii, spelt W-I-I. I thought it was going to be W-E-E, but obviously it's not that sort of Wii, is it, after all? Just in case you've wondered, we have in fact moved location. We've moved out of the studio, and we are now currently in a living room, where we're looking at the Nintendo Wii, which is set up in situ. And I must say, looking at it straight away, it's nice, and again, very clinical, modern. It's got a lovely, it looks like a CD player input, which has got a blue throbbing light in it. I like the word throbbing, so I'll throw that out. What can you tell me about it, Pete?
Okie dokie, this is obviously the latest games console. It's what they call a next generation console. This is a progression on from the Nintendo GameCube. And as you see, it's quite a sleek little device. It's smaller than the Xbox, it's smaller than the PS2.
Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. It looks like a car CD player. Instead of mounted horizontally, it's mounted vertically. So it sort of looks like a miniature computer base, I suppose you call it, with a CD drive slot on there. I think that's... Does that take CD-like format, does it? Yeah.
Let's have a look at this in action then, shall we? Let's just switch this on. And these are the remotes. Take hold of that for a second.
Very neat little remote control. It looks like a TV remote, really. It has a power switch, a cursor switch, an A button, I don't know what that is, a plus and a minus, like a volume control, a number one and a number two down the bottom, four blue LEDs, and it seems to be pulsating in my hand at the moment. I don't know whether that's right. Has an infrared sort of thing at the top, like a TV remote, really. And a trigger switch, it looks like, on the underside there.
Let me just tell you what this remote control is actually doing. If you look at the TV set we've got here, you can see it's got a menu, which has Wii Play, Me, Photo Library, and some stuff to do with the internet. On the top, there's this little bar. You see, I've put a bar at the top there? That is the infrared controller. So if you actually point at the screen...
Look at that. Isn't that handy? Quite literally. And it has a number two, so it obviously tells you your player two.
If I use mine, you see there's my little player one
and
there.
A number one.
And you can feel a pulse every time it highlights over one of these active areas here.
Very good.
Let's just have a quick go with the game here and just see what we can do. So as I'm player one, I'm going to select this. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to play a little game.
But it's certainly got that Nintendo feel to it. It's got that same sort of happy music thing. Okay, so we're going to be playing target practice, aren't we?
You're telling us to put our wrist straps on securely, because there's been lots of horror stories about people throwing their controllers at the screen. Just to explain, we're about to play a little shooting game, a target shooting game, which just kind of gets you used to the controls. So we're using our remote controls to point at the screen and shoot targets. At the moment, Carl is shooting at a tin can. How do you feel about using this kind of navigation on a game?
I prefer it if this was a gun. It's a little bit... I mean, you get used to it because you just concentrate on the screen for targeting, but I think just the whole concept of having a gun would be a little bit easier. But the trigger thing is not too bad.
Yeah, but considering with a normal games console like the GameCube, where you couldn't do any of this, you actually just had to use a left and right cursor all the time.
Oh, far better.
You're actually interacting direct with the thing on the screen here.
Yeah, no, it's far better than... Far better than... Sorry, I'm getting distracted. Far better than just a game...
Standard game controller.
Yeah. Far better than a standard game controller. I seem to have been abducted by an alien.
Okay, we're now going to play what I consider to be the best game on this. You know the old table hockey game?
Oh, yeah.
Laser table hockey. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. You know the concept of table hockey, so you're knocking a puck into the opponent's goal. So I'm a little blue thingy on the screen, Carl's a little red thingy on the screen. The aim is just to knock the ball into the goal.
Oh, no.
But you're using, again, a combination of infrared and the wireless to control it, so you need to just kick the ball there.
Yeah, it's great. I like this one.
I don't know if you notice, every time you hit the ball, your controller's vibrating and making noises.
Yes, I'm sure.
I think the graphics are pretty good, though.
Oh, the graphics are fantastic. They're just a little bit hard to get used to when you're actually controlling it, especially when you're used to the real thing, but I suppose it's like any game. It's just a little bit of adapting as a human to the concept. But you seem to be beating me 4-0. Obviously, I'm not adapting. Oh, look at me winning. Not.
Okay, this is a good one. We're now playing ping pong here. We have on screen, we have a table.
A rather remarkable game, really, considering it's all done with the ball. Oh, I'm winning, so it's a lot better than the last one.
But this is great. Every time you actually hit the ping pong, your controller is actually making a noise.
What was it? Oh, yeah.
And vibrating.
Yeah, the controller is actually making the noise. I didn't realise that.
So what's happening now is there's a few of us standing in our front room playing Nintendo Wii Sports. We're actually playing the bowling game at the moment. Carl is actually about to bowl. He's got the Wii remote control tied safely to his wrist. He's going to hold up his remote control, holding down the B trigger and actually bowling.
Oh, 9! One more to go. I've got to get a spare. Here we go.
And what he's doing is he's actually standing up, physically doing exactly the right action for when you're bowling. So he's holding the ball down with the trigger, walking towards the screen. He's actually bending his knees as well, which shows how visually good the game is. So for playing a proper game of 10-pin bowling, does this feel similar?
Yes, it's very similar. I mean, you do actually, by force of habit, mimic the actions you would do if you're playing a proper game.
It's your turn to bowl it.
Sorry, I've got to go, yeah. I think it is the most realistic 10-pin bowling computer game I've ever seen in my life.
So here we are, we're now playing billiards. Carl is selecting a nice little pot here. He's got a pot the yellow. Carl, quick description of what you're doing.
Potting the yellow.
Well done, sir. Thank you very much.
I'm targeting my shot to the relevant pocket, and then I'm going to put the position of the strike to the white ball or the cue ball, and then...
Missed.
And I've taken my shot and got a foul.
Well done. So while our Kate here's lining up her shot, what would you say is the best game you've been playing on this so far?
Well, there was tennis. There's the snooker's quite good. 10-pin bowling, though, has got to be the best.
What do you mean? What's different about this to an ordinary game system?
Well, it's rather more interactive on the basis of you really are going through the motions, but the whole game is taking place on your screen.
Let's ask Kate. Out of all the games that you've been playing today, Kate?
Bowling, definitely. Because it's very easy to do, very easy to handle the remote.
Do you feel actually standing up, waving a remote control around is a bit different to what you've done before?
Definitely. Whereas you sit there before with other game controllers, just using the buttons, this you get to actually do the actions.
Cool, excellent. Well, it's your shot, so I'll let you carry on. Over now to Sarah. Sarah, what have you enjoyed playing?
I like golf. I just think that the fact that you have to do a proper golf swing is just amazing. And to then watch your swing come out on your telly is just absolutely fantastic.
Do you feel silly standing there actually putting with the remote control in your hand?
No, because everybody else in the room was doing it too.
And compared with other games consoles?
The fact that it's using Wi-Fi and it picking up your movements from just waving a controller around in the air is just, it really is the future of games consoles.
So that was our location recording made with the rest of the Frequency Cast team just before the Christmas break. What have you got to say about that?
Well, we had a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon, stuck in front of the telly, playing loads of different games, waving remote controls about. Lots of fun. You enjoy it?
Oh yes, we were certainly very happy.
We were indeed. So that was our little feature on the Nintendo Wii, which launched in the beginning of December 2006. If you're trying to get one before Christmas, you're probably out of luck because there was one heck of a shortage. As far as we can tell, though, you will be able to have a Wii in 2007. The console costs £179.99, and if you're interested in finding out more, take a look at our website where we've got a few screenshots and some more details. So two for the price of one this show, we're focusing in on two things. We've covered the Wii, now we're going to talk about the second thing on our list. This is the top-up TV anytime set-top box.
Oh, I know this. This is the thing that everyone's been complaining about, writing letters and got loads of emails on this, didn't we, as well?
Absolutely. Lots and lots of fuss about this one. Top-up TV used to offer a load of channels that you could subscribe to in addition to Freeview. And then when Anytime launched, they cut back on the number of channels they were offering and basically forced everyone to start buying new set-top boxes to get extra program content. So there has been a lot of controversy. But as you'll see, now we have our own top-up TV Anytime box. So we're going to take a quick look at what this has to offer.
So, it's a bit slimmer than I thought it would be. Made by Thompson, this one, isn't it? And about the same size as your standard, or same width as your standard video player or DVD player, and a little bit slimmer. Nice remote control, pretty simple to use, just sort of cursor style things in the middle in blue, and then on the outside you've got everything else. Yeah, okay, what are you going to tell me about this one then?
The real serious work goes on underneath this cover here, where we've actually got a very, very large hard disk that can hold 100 hours of program content and 20 hours of your own recordings. So you can record 20 hours of Freeview or the top-up TV channels. But the clever stuff is this 100 hours here, where basically overnight, when you're not using your set-top box, it records loads and loads of different programs onto your hard disk that you can watch later. So if we just call up the menu here.
Okay.
So what we actually have, we've gone into the library button, and here on screen we can see the program library. So what have we got down there?
My gym partner's a monkey. Color of War 5, Everybody Loves Raymond, Ben 10, American Dragon.
Okay, so there's a whole list of programs there, and down here it says duration, so it's how long the program is. And here it says days left, number of days left. And that basically means number of days before that falls off the system and gets replaced by a new program. So these 100 programs are constantly refreshed. Overnight, a whole batch of new programs comes in, and these old ones kind of drop off the system to leave space for the new ones.
So these ones with 6 days left, in 6 days' time, that will delete itself, will it?
Unless you press the red button there on the remote, save, which will let you keep a copy of that.
Right, and you've got up to 100 hours on your hard disk, have you?
Correct. And I think the big question we've had from people getting in touch with us is to find out what channels are offered by a top-up TV Anytime and what programs get downloaded automatically. So what we're going to do is have a very quick rundown of all of the programs that have been downloaded to our box in the last 7 days.
Okay.
On UK Gold, Hollow Man, Open All Hours, Vicar of Dibley, Only Fools and Horses. On Paramount Comedy Channel, South Park, That 70s Show, Sexy Cam, Badly Dubbed Porn, Courting Alex. On MTV, Room Raiders, Date My Mum, Tiara Girls, Viva La Bam, Wild Boys, Pimp My Ride UK. On Living TV, Grey's Anatomy, Most Haunted, Charmed, CSI Miami, Missing, So You Think You Can Dance. Hallmark Channel, Family Law, Gilmore Girls, Judging Amy. Disney Channel, American Dragon, That's So Raven, Higglytown Heroes, Sweet Life, American Dragon, Toonami, Life with Derek, Samurai Jack. On Nickelodeon, Avatar, Go Diego Go, Zoe 101, Backyardians, Drake and Josh, Lazytown, SpongeBob SquarePants. On Cartoon Network, Ed, Edd and Eddy, My Gym Partner's a Monkey, Ben 10, Codename Kids Next Door. On Boomerang, Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, Top Cat, Wacky Races, Flintstones. On UK Style, DIY SOS, The Clothes Show, Homes Under the Hammer. On UK Food, Food Uncut, Great Food Live. On Discovery Lifestyle, Silicon Chicks 2, Wheeler Dealers, Lake Escapes, Tommy Walsh DIY Survival, Food Source, Baby Whisperer, Yummy Mummy. On Life and Time, Century, Colour of War, Planet Food, Fabulous Fortunes, Mad World, Mark Culligan Gardening. On Discovery Factual, Dirty Jobs, Danger Man, American Chopper, Conspiracies on Trial, Air Jaws. On Bloomberg, Bloomberg Weekly Roundup. On Discovery Animal Planet, Meerkat Manor, Jeff Corbin Experience, Austin Stevens, Monkey Business, Horse Tales. And on the movie channel TCM, The Dirty Dozen, The Wizard of Oz, Little Women, Shaft's Big Score, Logan's Run, and The Prisoner of Zenda.
Wow, that's a fair amount of programs. I'm not too sure that I'd be interested in all of them, but some of them held my interest.
Yeah, I must admit I'm not that impressed with some of the stuff that's been downloaded. There's a fair amount of kids and cartoon stuff on there, and the films that TCM are downloading are possibly a little bit out of date, but they're still worth a watch. It seems to be fairly efficient. It seems to be fairly fast. It's not a bad little solution, and it is a nice thing that you can just browse through 7 days' worth of TV programs from Top Up TV and instantly just press play and watch one of these programs. You can pause them, rewind them. At this point, perhaps it's worth just playing a recording from one of our listeners that's phoned in with some thoughts on the box.
Go for it.
Hi, my name's Steve Wilton. I'm from Rothwell in London. I've received my Top Hat TV Anytime set-top box. It's not too bad. It's a bit slow in changing channels, and it can be a little bit jerky at times. But other than that, it's certainly an interesting way of watching Top Hat TV. You get your normal channels on live TV, then you press the Top Up TV button, and you then get selected programs from about 19 different stations on there. It's not a bad deal. I pay £75 for mine. Not bad.
It's also worth pointing out that there have been a few negatives to this. Some of this summed up in an email we've had here from Dave Saunders.
He says, after 3 months of delays due to technical difficulties, my mum finally received her DVR on the 20th of December 2006. Guess what? Not only did the box arrive with a note explaining that due to technical difficulties we would have problems downloading content, but to add insult to injury, when we were going through the setup procedure, the box went through its diagnostic system and reported the box didn't have a hard disk. So yes, we have had a fair amount of problems reported to us, such as programs not downloading, missing any time content, box crashes, program overlaps. However, there is a software update due in the first 2 weeks of January that should resolve all of these problems. It's a little unfair to be too critical of this. This is a new piece of kit and there are bound to be some teething troubles. So hopefully once these bugs are ironed out, people will be a lot happier with Top Up TV Anytime. And I think generally we're turning this to a thumbs up, would you say?
Well, I'm still on a maybe. I'm going to be honest.
Okay, let's give it a bit of time and see how it irons out and perhaps come back to it in the next couple of shows.
Sounds good to me.
And if you are interested in this, we have a full review of this and some screenshots over on our website at www.frequencycast.co.uk. And if you're interested in the prices, it's £75 to existing customers or £180 to new customers.
Frequency Cast. Now loading. Interaction.
Right, we've done that. Let's get on with the interaction.
Damn it. Would you move this crap out of the way? We don't need three of these, do we?
Careful, you drop the new phone, you've got the remote control for the thing, you've got the Nintendo controllers.
Well, what do we need all this for anyway? I mean, what's wrong with the cassette player? What's wrong with the old Atari?
Oh, look, we're not going to start this argument again, are we? Because you know I win every time.
No, you don't. It's pathetic. Look, this phone doesn't even make phone calls. It's got a camera on it. It's got a sat-nav, but it doesn't. Does it make phone calls?
All right. Let's hang on. This wasn't going to be part of the show, but let's bring the listener in on this one, right? We have this argument just about every show, technology versus not technology. Now, I think the world of technology is brilliant. As you know, I love this technology stuff. You just don't get it, do you?
No, it's just not worth it half the time.
What are the three things that you're always picking on? The iPod. You don't think we should have ever invented the iPod, do you?
Nothing wrong with the cassette player. What was wrong with the PS? Personal stereo. Wasn't that impressive in the 80s?
And then this whole digital TV thing. You don't really get that, do you?
No. What's wrong with analog?
So we've gone from, you know, digital TV and high definition TV. You don't think we should have bothered, yeah?
Not really, no.
And you're always having a dig at my phone. Look, the Orbit thing that we were talking about. Sat-nav, email, you don't think phones should do all that stuff, do you?
Not really.
Do you reckon we can get the listeners to help us out on this?
Go on then, but they'll only agree with me.
Right, okay. I'm going to put up a webpage. Should we have invented the iPod? Should we have invented digital TV, high-definition TV, all of that stuff? Go to our website and vote. Once and for all, we shall settle this argument.
Yeah, or...
Support me on this one, please. We should have invented technology. That's what this whole show's about. Go to our website and we'll stick up some voting. And vote for Pete.
So if you want to be a technology nerd, vote for him. If you just think we've gone too far, time to stop. Just go with me, okay? Ah, we've got a mail in from a new listener, James. He writes to say, I have a few hundred gigabytes of music on my desktop PC. Is there any software that you would recommend that would let me stream the music to one of my pocket PCs from the desktop via my wireless network?
Hi, James. Yes, there are a few programs to try. One of them is Streaming Playlist. There's also something called Mercora, or our personal favourite, Orb, that lets you stream video and audio as well as images to your PC. See our show notes for more.
A mail here from Gary Mitchell. I'm having problems with my BT Home Hub. All was working fine, but now it's telling me it can't find the IP address of my machine. BT technical help were useless. How can I get the hub to recognise my machine's IP address?
Hi Gary, it's important to make sure that your PC has an IP address in the range that your home hub can cope with, so you may need to either alter your home hub's range or your PC's IP address. We've added a more detailed answer to this on our home hub page. We've also heard from Raymond Reed, who's having a problem getting equipment to connect to the home hub wirelessly. Again, our site's home hub page can help.
Okay, and a mail here from Chris Harold. I'm doing a lot of travelling over the coming year, mostly in Europe, but as far afield as Iran and New Zealand. I'd like a small compact radio with RDS, preferably with the clock update features. Can you suggest a good portable radio for me to take with me?
Hi Chris, we've had a look around and the Roberts R9921 has come up favourite. This offers FM, AM and shortwave, RDS, clock, alarm and world time. For something smaller, maybe the Sony ICF M33, which has RDS. Or if you're after DAB, there's the Roberts RD49 with DAB, FM and RDS. All three radios are around about £50, and we have details on the show notes for show 10. If anyone out there has any recommendations for Chris, please get in touch. Happy travels. Here's a call from our pod line.
Hello, my name is Margaret. I live in Blackburn in Lancashire. I've got a DAB radio. I have been receiving channels on it, and it's fine. But now the local ones, for some time, have been, it just keeps saying station unavailable. That's Radio Lancashire, Smooth FM, Red Rose. Just the local ones, I can get Talksport and Radio 2 and the others. I don't know why it's stopped working.
Hi Margaret, this is most commonly down to signal strength, and there are lots of factors that can affect your DAB signal. Perhaps try moving the radio to a different location, maybe upstairs or near a window. Also, make sure your aerial is fully extended. We'll add a link to our show notes giving some advice on DAB reception.
And a mail from Steve Hopwood. We have a TV with a single built-in Freeview tuner. What, if anything, do we need to do to be able to continue to record on VHS when only digital TV is available?
Hi Steve. Most TV sets with an integral Freeview tuner allow the Freeview output to be sent via SCART so they can be recorded on a DVD or VHS recorder. You should check your TV's manual to see how to get the Freeview output connected to a recorder. In the event that your TV doesn't support outputting Freeview to a SCART socket, there is one other option, which is to get a separate Freeview box just to use with your Freeview recorder.
Thanks. And a mail from Brad Tompkins. Just finished listening to the latest show this morning. I need one of those key finder gadgets for my wife so I can keep track of her whereabouts. Keep up the good work, and the jokes are good. I like. And I've just got a message here from Brinsley. He says, just listen to your podcast show. Fantastic. What a great idea. I'm hooked. Now a quick question from Rod Turno. Can the data card from the TomTom 1 be upgraded to a larger size?
Yes, Rod, you can use another SD card. The best way of doing this is to use the TomTom Home software to back up the contents of your existing card, then restore that backup to a larger SD card. Here's another call.
GJ John, New Malden. My question is regarding the NetGen iPlayer, and in particular, the remote control infrared codes, which are not provided with the manufacturer's information. If anybody could help, I would appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed.
Hi there. Unfortunately, you didn't tell us the make and model of the control you're trying to program, so we can't be too much help. One suggestion is to try the code 1322. We know this works for some controllers, including the One for All range, so it's worth a go. If it doesn't help, stop by the iPlayer forum, where someone should be able to help you.
Great stuff. Well, that's it for another interaction.
If you like what you've heard today, please spread the word. Perhaps mention us in your favourite forum.
Vote. Also, if you've got a question, an opinion, vote, or any comments on TV and technology stuff, please get in touch.
You can call us on the pod line and leave a message. It's a London number, 0208 133 4567. Or you can send us a message via our website at www.frequencycast.co.uk.
We're also asking you to vote for what you'd like to hear on the next show.
Vote. Catch you again on the next show. Tell your friends. And remember, vote for Pete.
What a cheap shot. I wouldn't insult their intelligence so much. I mean, that's almost as bad as putting subliminal messages throughout the show. They know exactly who to vote for. Well, it's the end of another entanglement of wireless widgets, wonders and Wi-Fi.
Frequency cast. Shutdown in progress.
Well, that's all for this show. Keep the feedback coming, and make sure you visit our website for details of what we discussed in today's tantalising take on technology. Point your browser at www.frequencycast.co.uk.
Frequency Cast. Shutdown complete.